around the world.
That is absurd.
These are Mad Radio's Mad Takes on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
I remember we were at the Chick-fil-A out wherever we were a few months ago. We were talking about this Ariana Grande, Pete Davidson engagement. It is no longer, my friends. It is done. The romance has turned sour. It was a whirlwind that powered the celebrity gossip machine, but it has now come to a conclusion.
You know what? This is where I am with Pete Davidson, where I don't quite understand the appeal of Pete Davidson. I understand Ariana Grande liking him. Like, I'm sure he's very interested in everything. But, like, as a comedic actor, I don't quite get it. But I leave it alone because, what's his name from The Tonight Show there? Not Jimmy Kimmel, the other one.
Jimmy Fallon.
I never quite got Jimmy Fallon
Nor
either.
Do I.
But now I watch him on that. I really like him a lot.
He was endearing in Saturday Night Live because he always broke character and skits and started laughing hysterically.
Which is a cheap way to get laughs. That's what used to bother me. It's like, all right, like, yeah. You break character and the crowd will laugh and like but you're not actually doing anything.
I always felt it was authentic with Fallon because it really felt like he just couldn't control himself.
Like it looked like he was stoned all the time. Like
he just probably was.
Like he was in trouble at summer camp because he'd been caught smoking pot.
He allegedly has some drinking issues per the gossip.
But and that's what I'll say. Like I really like him as a late night television host. So I don't know what to think of this other than that I don't think that it sounds like when Pete Davidson. I actually went back and read about Pete Davidson proposing to Ariana Grande, and it almost sounded like this scene out of the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, where this one character, Job, ends up getting proposed basically because they keep on this escalating game of truth or dare, where they just like keep daring each other to do stuff and they end up being engaged. I feel like that's what it was with Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande. It almost wasn't even a serious proposal. It was her daring him to propose, and he did.
His appeal, Davidson, in comedy, I think it's his delivery combined with him really not having a filter. I mean, he makes jokes about his dad dying on 9/11, and these are some of the things that he does. I think there's a shock value plus delivery to the way that he does it.
I'm going to say this. I think that the one thing that I'm glad about is everybody's gotten more puritanical in this country all of a sudden. I like it because it provides more opportunities for comedy. Back when Andrew Dice Clay was doing his thing and a lot of comics were like that, there was this sense of like, well, all right, how do you push the boundaries anymore? Now, because everybody's so damn uptight all the time, Pete Davidson can make a joke about his dad dying, and like people think that's edgy. Like, no, that's what comedy's supposed to be. It's supposed to be about the uncomfortable stuff. That's not edgy at all. Like, that's what makes it funny. You take something that's tragic and make a joke out of it, and yet now you'd be like, oh my gosh, you joked about a serious topic. How could anybody find that funny?
You know who might have played a factor in the end of this relationship?
Who?
You know Uncle Chaps? Uncle Chaps is a noted Astros fan who works for Barstool Sports. Noted Jaguars fan.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wrote an article about how Pete Davidson's eyes may or may not look like intestinal exits. And this this blog went viral because Ariana Grande, she wrote back to the
Chaps?
Article, the
oh
Chaps,
my God.
And she said he has a medical condition where that's why it looks like that. And it was found that nope, there's no medical condition that makes your eyes look like butts.
Well, there is. If you have a high thyroid, you get the bug eyes. I know that. So maybe he's got the high thyroid.
They're not bug
Perhaps.
Eyes though.
There are a lot of funny. Web posts that were made after the fact where it was about Ariana Grande denies her boyfriend has eyes that look like butts.
The thing about it, well, she didn't deny that they look like butts. She denied.
It.
She said
the
that
intestinal.
She
exits.
Gave a reason.
Yeah.
She didn't say that they don't look like it. She just said that he has a medical reason for it. Right. The weird thing about Pete Davidson is that he's one of these people, kind of like Mick Jagger, who's both hideous and attractive at the same time. Like, almost like so ugly that he's good looking. It's strange. I've spent too much time looking at it. Because I think what it is I think he's got a very symmetrical face. Kind of like the box score from the Bills-Texans game this last
symmetrical.
Weekend. Symmetrical yet ugly. But somehow attractive in a weird
he looks,
way.
He looks a lot like Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers, considering they're up 2-1 on the Dodgers, the Astros, if they were to advance to the World Series, could end up playing. So you'll see a Pete Davidson lookalike playing baseball.
Yeah,
so
not a bad comparison.
Given my history of being bad at forecasting whether guys are going to be good at sports commentating and also late night television, I would not be surprised if like 20 years from now Pete Davidson is the host of one of those late night shows.
Fair.
This is madness!
Okay, so I honestly hate this controversy that came out of the Patriots and Chiefs Sunday night game, where on a third and goal situation with just 5 minutes left to play, Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Breland Speaks apparently led up on a sack of Tom Brady, who would eventually scramble for a touchdown. And he said that one of the reasons that he let go was because why? It was because he felt that he was going to get called for a penalty. And this pisses me off because it's third and five, and you're inside your own 10-yard line, and you're concerned about a penalty. You should be concerned about making the sack.
Well, wait a second, though. Yes, you should be concerned about a penalty because it's third and five, and you're inside your own 10-yard line. What if he had gotten rid of the ball, but you get flagged for and give him a new set of downs on the one?
I mean, better to go down going for a sack than going down letting a Tom Brady, who is not good at scrambling, waltz into the end zone.
But he thought
the
ball was gone. He made a mistake.
But he said that he thought he was going to get called. He did not think the ball was gone. He said that the roughing penalty in the league is the reason that he let up on the sack.
Yeah.
Which I think is BS. I'm with you. I think he felt that the ball had already left. And okay, fine. But that excuse is weak, and I'm sick of people using that excuse.
Oh, well, I've done this before. I did it because the week before I saw Tony Brackens get flagged for hitting Troy Aikman, back where Troy Aikman was coming off a concussion probably from like 3 days before, because back in the days, that's how we rolled. Tony Brackens got fined like $25,000. The next week, I'm hitting Tony Banks against Baltimore, and I thought he got rid of the ball, and like an ass clown, I let go of him. Tony Banks still had the ball and completed the ball. Like, sometimes that's just what
Tony
happens.
Banks.
You get freaked out about it. I mean, maybe I'm the one man in America. I will form a support group for those of us who have made this hideous mistake. Brandon Speaks, I stand with you.
Breland Speaks.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. He's a faceless moron to me.
Because I initially viewed this as like he was worried about one of those roughings, like body weight or whatever. But I guess in this case, he's just focused on the actual football itself.
Well, here is what he said afterwards. He said that a penalty was on his mind in letting up on Brady. Quote, especially in New England, we're in New England, Tom's going to get the call. Fine, make the sack. Like, to me, it's different if it, and I don't know when that situation, Seth, that you came across happened. And again, you played, I didn't. I'm just saying, you're on your own goal line,
and
it's third down. I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory to bring Brady down there.
But that's my exact argument, is that, why would you risk a penalty, a stupid penalty, especially if maybe you thought the ball was gone already?
I don't know.
We don't have to over, no, I'm not criticizing you personally, I'm thinking like in general. Like, sometimes people just do stupid things on a football field. It happens all the time. Like, smart players do stupid
things.
Which
is fine. I think that using the roughing rule, though, is BS.
But this was but that's exactly what it was. You think, like, wait, are you saying it's a BS excuse? Like, the way he's describing it is exactly what he was thinking. It was dumb in that moment, but that is exactly what he was thinking. Was that for whatever reason, either because he thought the ball was gone or he thought he was going to fling him down, that and I'm guessing that he actually thought the ball was gone, which is, it was a weird situation for him to think the ball was gone. But, like, I 100% believe his explanation, because why else would he just let go of the guy?
I would like to criticize, but I'm with Seth on this. If he felt the ball was gone, which obviously wasn't, then you're risking the roughing, because then you get the whole time thing, the ball is out. And it's just a really unfortunate play at the exact wrong time for Kansas City.
Yeah, I feel like are you worried that the Patriots are somehow not getting credit or something?
No, I'm annoyed that they are constantly accused of cheating. Because he was intimating they were going to get the call.
Oh, that they would get the call.
That they were going to get the call. Yes,
I don't know.
I think that's BS. He missed the sack.
I don't even think. Do people believe that the Patriots get the calls in Foxborough?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
I think they believe that, but I also think that the top quarterbacks get calls.
No, but I think that's I think that's like true of anywhere. Like, okay, sorry, you got a good quarterback. That's what you have to deal with. Like, the Peyton Manning got the same accusations because it was true. Drew Brees gets the same accusations because it's true.
I get it with Brady. Yes, yeah. Brady does get a special treatment comparatively, but that it's in New England and that was the reason the call was going to be as such. Whatever.
The way you people turn like winning lots of games into somehow a negative is just astounding.
That's amazing.
Make the sack.
Whiny little rich kids. Like, I can't believe, we're so rich. We're so rich and people won't acknowledge how much money we have.
This is madness.
Go ahead, Mike. Mine sucks. I just got a stupid Josh Norman one.
Is there a countdown clock with John Gruden's contract?
Yes, there is. This was someone brought this to my attention on Twitter, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but John Gruden's contract, which is a little less than 10 years now, is something that many Raider fans are concerned with, seeing as he's not good at his job, and he looks to be stripping the Raiders for parts right
now. This is trending towards absolute disaster.
Him explaining because, look, they're going over to London 48 hours before the game, he was trying to explain why they did that, and it basically he started off by saying, like, well, there's a lot of research into it, but I don't know why. Like every little thing, he can't say anything without exposing, like, that he's not even really thinking about anything.
Colin Cowherd had a good take on this. Usually in the NFL, you can escape almost any situation because it might be a year or two of dead money. This is a 10-year contract. Like, there is no way out. There's no way out.
I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know, like, exactly. He claims that it's not a $100 million contract. I wonder how many guarantees.
It's $130
million. Like, I feel like he's lying.
There's no rule that the coach's contract is guaranteed.
True.
It's just precedent. So we don't know exactly what the contract looks like. Just like there's no rule that NFL players' contracts can't be guaranteed. Well, it's just precedent.
Let's just say it's $80 million. Yeah. I think the point, though, is that even if things are going downhill in year one or two, what's Mark Davis going to do? Eat all that money? Yeah. Is he going to eat all that money? Boy, it's a total disaster. It looks like a total disaster.
He doesn't have the money to eat. You can only.
It was always going to be a disaster.
Can someone explain?
This guy's out of the league for 10 years. Bring him in, give him $100 million.
I'm going to tell you a take I will have months from now, or maybe a year from now, when they trade Derek Carr away. I'm just going to annihilate John Gruden. But think about this: Dick Vermeil took all that time off from coaching. Dick Vermeil came back, was a different guy, won a Super Bowl, and was a much better coach. Can someone in the audience tell me what the hell John Gruden was doing the last, let's see, 10 years, other than make
football.
Money?
He was watching football. He was taking notes.
Did he learn
on all
anything?
These different teams. He was gonna be a new and improved John Gruden. It looks like he didn't learn anything at all.
Anything.
He's the exact same guy he used to be.
You know who was right about John Gruden? Sean McDonough. Thank you. Sean McDonough was the guy
right
who was right about...
Hang on. You
were right about this, too.
Yes.
I'm saying, like, people like...
No, wait, you don't get to call Sean McDonough. What does Sean McDonough know?
He didn't like John Gruden.
He didn't, right, on a personal level.
Yes.
He didn't make a prediction about how it was going to be for the Raiders.
Sean McDonough and Paul Gallant, who once lived in the same apartment complex, I believe,
yes.
Or something like that.